Tonight, dear brothers and sisters, we continue a series we've been having on the blessings of the tribes. Genesis 49, the blessings of Jacob, that is, and Deuteronomy 33, the blessings of Moses. So tonight, our first speaker, Brother John Hitches, is to give a 20-minute address upon Benjamin and Joseph, and then Brother Alec Fisher is to speak upon Zebulun and Issachar. So we look forward now to hear what Brother John has to say. This is a change of programme, of course, with Brother Matthew Owen, on Benjamin and Joseph. Sorry, we should have had a reading first. My apologies. We're going to read the appropriate verses from Genesis chapter 49, and this is verses 13 through to verse 27. And I've asked Brother Graham Lake to lead us in that reading, please. Thank you for that reading, Graham. So we look forward to what Brother John Hitches has to say on the blessings of the tribes, Benjamin and Joseph. John.
Well, brothers and sisters, we'll start by considering Benjamin, because the verse in chapter 49 that we just read together is so brief. Let's just read that 27th verse again. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. And that verse well sums up the future role of Benjamin, for it was to be a warlike tribe, in contrast to the apparent nature of the man Benjamin himself. If you'd like to turn to Judges chapter 20, we see something of this warlike spirit. Book of Judges, chapter 20, and reading from verse 20. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in arm in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him." So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 men, 18,000 more of the children of Israel. All those drew the sword. So that's 40,000 men of Israel cut down in 2 days. And yet, if you look earlier in the chapter, we find that the army of Benjamin numbered just 26,000 men. And yet the army of Israel numbered some 400,000 men. While we're in this chapter, let's just look at verse 15, which shows us another feature of the Benjamites. Verse 15 of Judges 20. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who draw the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. Among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, it's not quite clear whether those 700 are the same as the 700 of Gibeah, or whether they are a Benjamin, but it seems likely that they were the Benjamites who were left-handed. Well, there are two key characters in the scriptures who are said to be of the tribe of Benjamin. The first is King Saul, and the second Saul, who later became Paul the Apostle. And if you think about it, having read that verse in Genesis 49 that speaks of Benjamin being like a ravenous wolf, it's interesting to see the wolf-like character that came out in both of the Sauls. King Saul particularly showed it in his endeavours to track down David and to try and destroy him. And of course, Saul, later Paul, showed it in his early life as he tried to wipe out the Christian believers. And he compassed the land trying to do so. But in contrast to that warlike nature, we find a different picture when we come to the blessings of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Again, the record in relation to Benjamin is quite brief, so we'll read it together. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. Of Benjamin, he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." Well, those words indicate a much more peaceful relationship than the blessings of Jacob that speaks of the ravenous wolf. And this change of nature seems to have been shown in the tribe after the death of King Saul. At that time, the tribe then allied itself with David. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. First Chronicles 12 and reading from verse 22. "For at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army like the army of God." Sorry, I'm not sure we have the right verse there. It was going to be 29 next, actually. Let's take verses 22 and 23 first. "For at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army, like the army of God. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war, and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord." And then verse 29, "Of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, 3,000, until then the greatest part of them had remained loyal to the house of Saul." So, yes, these 3,000 of Benjamin left their allegiance to the house of Saul and started supporting David. And subsequently, the tribe of Benjamin was allied with Judah to form together the two tribes, as opposed to the 10 tribes of Israel. In Ezra chapter 1, we needn't turn to it, we read that the Benjamites joined with Judah to go up to build the temple in Jerusalem. And then, of course, later in the history, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And so perhaps it's particularly fitting that the blessing that Moses gives on Benjamin says the beloved of the Lord dwelling safely by Benjamin. Benjamin indeed had been effective in anointing Judah. Sorry, those are the words of the blessing of Moses on Judah, that they should be dwelling safely by Benjamin. Yes. In Genesis, we read of Benjamin being like a wolf. The wolf is mentioned on only few occasions in the Bible, but one I'm sure is very familiar to us, and that's found in Isaiah 65. You'll know the words well. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And surely we see that in the wolf-like Benjamin joining and supporting the tribe of Judah from which the Lamb of God was to come. So we have the Lamb of Judah and the wolf of Benjamin lying together. And similarly, at the time of King Saul, as we've said, the Benjamites initially acted as wolves in joining with Saul in trying to track down David, but then they transferred their allegiance to the Lamb of David. And similarly, Paul, having as Saul initially acted in a wolf-like manner, lay down with the Lamb by devoting himself to the work of Jesus and worked hard in his service. In Deuteronomy, we read that Benjamin is described as the beloved of the Lord, and that the Lord would dwell between his shoulders. It implies that God would be very close to Benjamin, and that is indeed what we see in the later history of the tribe. Well, now let's go back to Genesis 49 and consider the blessings of Joseph, where rather more is said than is said about Benjamin. What we should immediately notice when we look at these blessings on Joseph is the contrast of the strength of praise that is given to Joseph. And within the blessings, it only equals that which is given to Judah. And what is also significant in these blessings on Joseph is the recognition of Joseph as a type of the Saviour to come. And so in chapter 49, the blessing on Joseph starts in verse 22, where Joseph is described as a fruitful bough. Indeed, as a bough that is so strong that its branches climb over the wall. If any of you are reading the NIV, you may notice that it talks about a vine instead of a bough. But the original wording doesn't really seem to support that meaning. Bough seems to be a more common use of the original. But of course, there were to be two branches that would come out of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And they indeed were to grow in strength. Verse 23 of Genesis 49 tells us the archers have bitterly grieved him. And that word archers can also be adversary, but the overall meaning is clear. Yes, Joseph had been afflicted on a number of times by the arrows of adversity. Firstly, by his brothers who put him into that pit and then sold him to Egypt. And then when Potiphar's wife acted against him and put him into difficult circumstances that ended up with him being imprisoned. This righteous man had suffered much at the hands of both his own brethren and at the hands of a foreign power, the power of Egypt. But through it all, his righteousness brought him salvation from the pit of the dungeon. And so we read in verse 24, "But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." And surely we can see the type there of the righteous Joseph suffering, although he had done no sin in either circumstance, just as Jesus suffered despite his righteousness. And for that righteousness, Joseph was to receive the blessings that are enumerated in verse 25. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the uttermost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. And just complete that verse, on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Notice that mention of the crown. Not here a literal crown, but blessings to be on the crown of Joseph's head. In comparison, of course, Jesus, the antitype, will bear the crown of God's blessings in a literal form when he takes the throne in Jerusalem. But note also, let's just read those last words of verse 26 again, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. And note that word separate there. It's the word Nazir, the same as the word that's used in relation to the Nazirite vow, the vow that indicated those who had been separated for God's holy purposes. You may remember that in a Bible class address a year or so back, we considered separation in relation to the breaking of bread ceremony that we undertake Sunday by Sunday, and of our position. And it's perhaps not a coincidence that our reading for today is from 1 Corinthians 11, which speaks of that very thing. And so we have a link between this chapter in Genesis and our reading today from Corinthians. Note also that verse 26 speaks of the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. In other words, this blessing on Joseph was to be enduring and unchanging, thus pointing forward to the future life in the kingdom of God. But again, now let's turn to the account in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And we find in the verses here that a similar pattern emerges. And what we also find are some interesting links to our current series of addresses on symbols in Bible prophecy. You'll remember that we last week considered that with our brother Paul Southgate. Let's read from Deuteronomy 33, verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessings come on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Note in verse 13 the dew that Brother Paul spoke of last week. In verse 14, the mention of months, or the moon as it is rendered in the AV, and you'll remember we considered that as the symbols back in January. We noted how the moon was used in Scripture to determine months. And there also seems to be a link between the words that we've just read and the words of Revelation 22, the chapter that you'll know speaks of the tree of life being on either side of the river, bearing 12 fruits, with one fruit for each month of the year. So verse 14 of Deuteronomy, with the precious produce of the month, the precious fruits of the sun. If we go forward to Ezekiel 47, we have the words of Ezekiel relating to the future time. Ezekiel 47, this speaks of that future time and the healing of the waters and the trees, and we read then in verse 12, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine or for healing. So parallel thoughts to those of the blessings on Joseph in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And if we go back to that chapter, we can look again at verse 15. The best things of the ancient mountains with the precious things of the everlasting hills. We noted the significance of the everlasting hills in the words in Genesis, and we have the same reference here. And in verse 16, we have the blessings on the crown of Joseph. And then verse 17. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Yes, the sons of Joseph were like oxen. They were able to push their enemies away from them. And at this time, the power of Manasseh was larger and the stronger of the two half-tribes. But in time, Ephraim was to gain the preeminence. Well, I think, dear brothers and sisters, what we see from these words in both Genesis and Deuteronomy was that the purpose of God was very well established by this time. And yet we're still at a relatively early period of man's history. The future role of the Messiah had been determined, and it was being seen in type in the work of Joseph, and indeed also in the work of Benjamin. And the blessings were not just for the near future of Joseph and Benjamin and their immediate descendants, but they look forward into eternity and the blessings of the future age. Dear brothers and sisters, what a wonderful hope and encouragement these words should give us as we endeavour to follow the examples of the faithful men that are recorded in the Bible. May the day soon come when God's power will be manifested and when the greater Joseph will take the throne of David, that throne that the Benjamites supported.